D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie, Derek, and I are live from the historic Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown, 217 Louise Avenue in Nashville. I feel fancy.
Why is that?
Because this is a fancy place.
Absolutely.
The servers are wearing
fancy places.
Tuxes.
Invite fancy people. Right? So we knew we
were
fancy.
I've never been confused
for
fancy.
They were fancy. So why not just get together and make what? More fancy or fancier.
So is this is your first time here, Adam.
This
right?
is the first time at Jimmy Kelly's for yours truly.
Derek?
I've been here before. It's been a long time.
Okay.
It
has
really
been for me
time.
As well. My first time here was spring of 1990, my freshman year. Vanderbilt was a recruiting trip for a guy from my hometown, baseball recruiting, a guy named Greg Thomas, who was a great player. He got to double A, maybe had a touch of triple A, had a great career at Vanderbilt. So another one of my successful recruiting ventures. I used the Orlando ties to get him. But the Final Four in 1990 was going on. Georgia Tech with Kenny Anderson, who was years later, just up until a couple of years later, was the head basketball coach at Fisk, just down the street. But, you know, Kenny Anderson from New York City was a great college player. They had 3D, Dennis Scott, remember him?
Yes.
And just a great Bobby Kremen's team. UNLV, who ended up winning the whole thing. Duke, that was Final Four Saturday. It was the first time that I came here. And we were the NIT champions at basketball. So that was my first time at Jimmy Kelly's, and I've been back many, many times since then. It is a beautiful place. They've done some renovations here. So if you haven't been here in a while, like Vanderbilt's playing at home tomorrow in a game that I'm really curious. I want to see Vanderbilt fill that place. Derek, you're always – last year I think your message was – yeah. I think you said, and I quote, get your ass to the stadium.
Yes.
So I want to see people do that tomorrow. This team is number 20. They're exciting. They're playing a team that beat them last year. This would be a great place, Jimmy Kelly's, to come over before the game. Check out this new rooftop setting they've got or make a reservation. We're going to tell you how you can do that throughout the show today, but keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So we're going to have a good show today.
Let's go, man.
Yeah, let's go. It's Friday.
Let's go.
Well, I hope that this doesn't bring the enthusiasm down.
What?
Let's start
with
the...
You can't bring down enthusiasm.
Well, let's start with the Titans injury report.
Okay. Yeah, that may do it. Yes, you're right.
Jeez.
J.C. Latham is out for Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts.
I was afraid of that.
As is Tavondre Sweat.
Tavondre
Sweat is out. Jarvis Brownlee is questionable with an ankle. Legarius Sneed is listed as questionable with a back injury, but told reporters after practice he is good to go. Apparently, he took a knee to the back from Jeffrey Simmons, which caused the back injury, but he says he's fine. So expect Legarius Sneed to play Sunday against Indianapolis. No J.C. Latham for the second week in a row. No Tavondre Sweat as well.
Yikes.
And we will talk about the ramifications of those things as we look ahead to the matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. But I do want to start today's program by asking the two of you and all of you at 615-737-1025 if I should care about what we're about to discuss. I heard Robbie and Joe talk about it this morning. My friend Gentry Estes at the Tennessean wrote a column about it this week. Gentry's column was entitled, quote, Cam Ward versus the Nissan Stadium turf is my new favorite Titans subplot. And the reason why Gentry wrote about this subject and the reason why Robbie and Joe talked about this subject this morning is that on a couple of occasions over the past week, Cam Ward has brought up the fact that the Titans play on turf when they practice on grass. So let's start with last Sunday. Titans lose at home to the LA Rams. Cam Ward takes a sack in that game that proved critical for the Rams win. And Cam Ward was asked after the game about that sack. Here was what Cam Ward said last Sunday.
Do you feel like there's anything different you could have done ball security-wise on the phone?
I would say not slip on the turf as much. Hopefully we get grass. And so I just think, you know, it all came down to me. I stepped up in the pocket. I didn't, you know, have it firm enough and, you know, just slipped out, you know, especially in, you know, our territory. I can't have that happen. So it's just something that, you know, I got to watch him learn from.
Okay, fair enough. That was Cam Ward after the game last weekend against the LA Rams. But then the subject came back up this week at practice when Cam Ward was asked once again about the grass versus turf debate.
Have you mentioned the grass to anyone in particular, or is that just some kind of a joke?
No, I ain't mentioning yet. It'll get mentioned eventually. But, I mean, we practice on grass. Why we don't play on grass?
Last one. So that was Cam Ward at practice earlier this week. Now, I just need y'all's help. The two of you and all of you listening at 615-737-1025 or phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Should I care about this? Because I am having an incredibly difficult time caring about this. When I've heard people talk about it, I just want to yell at them, touch grass, which you apparently can't do at Nissan Stadium because there is no grass at Nissan Stadium. But I still want to tell y'all, touch grass. Now, Derek, you played on grass fields. You played on turf fields. Mm-hmm. So you tell me. Is this something I should care about? Because I am having an incredibly difficult time caring about this.
Listen, the turf has shown some, you know, slippage in the sense of player slipping. I saw that, and I brought it up in the first game. It happened, you know, again in the second game. More importantly, here in Nashville. And I just thought it was a problem. But, hey, that's what happens when it's new turf and, you know, they just sort of prepped it and everything else. So, you know, you may have some of those issues. What my concern is, are these issues going to continue? But the question that he's asking, I mean, listen, this is the way football has been done for many, many years. It didn't just start with this group of individuals. The reason why coaches – you know, one, the reason why they put in turf because it's cost effective and turf has gotten to a point where, you know, it holds up sort of like grass. It's nothing like the old turf used to be. Willie know about that turf, but it's nothing like that. So to them, engineering is better. You know, they put out new, you know, sort of artificial grass out. And, you know, I guess their studies have found that, you know, it doesn't cause as many injuries as one would think. So more teams choose to go that route, cost effective. But coaches do it because they know they got turf in the stadium. They don't want to then practice on turf because that's wear and tear on your body. You want to try to keep your players off that turf as much as possible. So, I mean, if he wants to, you know, play on – practice on turf, be my guest, practice on turf. And after about 2 weeks, he's going to hate it. It's unfortunate that the Titans, but this is something that is going to, he either get over it now because it's something so small, or he's never going to be productive. What is going to be in the new stadium?
Turf.
Thank you. Turf is going to be in the new stadium. There is no negotiating that. They already did it. It's done. That's what's going down. Yep. So
it's a closed roof.
Exactly. So I understand some of the guys out there slipping. That's when you get really got to work on the type of shoes you wear and everything
slipping,
else.
You, when you watch a game on turf, as you said, there's so many games played on turf. Are we talking about turf in general, or are we talking about the turf at Nissan Stadium?
I was talking about the turf at Nissan Stadium.
Because
that's what I was talking about.
You were texting,
yes.
And I was noticing it in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game.
Yes.
There were people slipping a lot. I don't know what's going on with that turf. It's not old turf.
Mm-mm.
It should be better footing there, but it's not. And it was both teams. And so, look, we can debate in general whether – more injuries occur on turf or not. There are a lot of people that still remember when Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He made a big to-do after this, and there was a big spotlight because of the nature of that game.
Exactly.
So many people were watching. He tried to get a movement going to get rid of turf. And those days are probably over.
Yeah,
I know there are more fields now, and I believe the Titans is one of them. They don't have the tire pellets anymore. There's like coconut shells. It's a little bit more environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. But I do know that people were having trouble with their footing. And Cam was definitely with that. Cam did not have great escapability on Sunday. He didn't really at Mile High Stadium on the grass either. Now, he was under a lot of duress, as we know. But I am wondering about that as he goes forward. Like, how elusive is he in general at getting away from rushes, getting key yards running? Because he hasn't really shown that ability yet. But the footing hasn't been great. So maybe that's what he's frustrated about. But you're right. He's going to have to deal with it because this is where he's going to play.
Yes, maybe Callahan, you know, and this would be something that I would not advise a head coach or a GM to even suggest we do this. But, you know, if you're going to say we got to try to emulate this as closely as possible or replicate this as closely as possible, well, we're going to – because the turf we have at our facility is the same turf, more than likely, that's in the stadium. So we're going to practice on this once a week, get your footing, because I think a lot of that was he's only played two games in that building. Two. He's only played two.
And so one of them was the Vikings game.
Exactly.
He played, what, two
so
series
So he has
or three
to
series?
Get used to that surface, you know. So
maybe your shoes.
Yeah, maybe coach should take him. But I guarantee you, after about a couple weeks, they ain't going to want to go back out there on that turf no more. They're not, as far as practice-wise.
Gentry Estes writes in his column, quote, "It doesn't make sense that the Titans installed turf in their own stadium and boasted at the time of having the same turf in their indoor practice bubble, yet continued to practice primarily outside on natural grass leading up to home games." He also mentions that Nissan Stadium switched from grass to turf prior to the 2023 season. The Titans linked the decision to Nashville weather and an effort to curb the number of injuries suffered by players in the Mike Vrabel era, which went against widespread conventional wisdom among NFL players that playing on turf is more hazardous for their health than grass. To me, meaning Gentry, this decision probably came down to the same reason most teams decide to switch to turf. It's cheaper than grass to maintain, especially when other football teams, like Tennessee State, also play in Nissan Stadium. So I've heard Cam mention this a couple of times. You know, I caught that, and I thought to myself, not to downplay the concerns that the team's starting quarterback has about the field surface, I'm just having a difficult time mustering up any sort of frustration over it. But again, I'm not the one playing on it, and I've never played on grass or turf. Well, I mean, I probably
have. It's just something that you would not hope, with all of the things that they're dealing with right now, you to add another one. And this is one where a rookie quarterback probably could have kept that. But like
that
you said,
yourself.
Some things you can keep in-house. Now he's made it
a big
something
deal.
That everybody knows about. Because when the quarterback says something, everybody's paying attention to what you say.
E.F. Hutton.
But that's
do you know that commercial?
You're going Derek's going
oh,
old
look
school.
At his face. He's
like the wheels are spinning.
Go ahead, Derek.
Well, EF talk what?
People listen.
There you go.
Well, Gentry's point as well is that if anybody can convince the Titans to change things up, it's the number one overall pick starting quarterback. That was his point.
You got to start winning some games first. Win the Super Bowl, you can get that turf change.
Wes in Clarksville says, well, they just installed new turf in the old stadium. They're not going back to grass. And now the new stadium can't have grass. Josh from Nashville says, remind these guys about the turf at the old Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. I understand it was like playing on pure concrete.
It was. And listen, I don't expect I understand, you know, these young men's gripe because they never played on surfaces like that where, you know, it was – playing on concrete. So my tolerance for bad turf is different than their tolerance for bad turf. But what I would love for them is to understand the history of that stuff and know where we were and where we are at now. And y'all are playing on like some plush stuff. I get it. There are injuries out there that occur. But, man, if you turn out to be the quarterback they believe you can be, I believe you can be, you're going to be playing on turf for about 15 years.
If I were the equipment guy, I would be bringing him about six pairs of shoes.
Exactly.
And saying, all right, Cam, let's put this aside. Mm-hmm. Like, not that you can go tell him what to do, right? But you got to say, Cam, let's take a look at some shoes here, and let's get one that you have better footing on. Because sometimes that will help, right?
Yeah, I mean, some guys, I don't think they do it now because the turf is so much more different than what it is. Because some guys used to wear, like, basketball shoes, like Nubs.
Yeah.
Like old linemen, they wouldn't wear cleats.
Yeah,
because you want to get one caught. Matt didn't really want to wear cleats until the turf changed.
Yeah.
And it became more like grass than anything.
Because you don't want to get it grabbed because then you're, you know, you blow out your ankle, et cetera. That's why a lot of those injuries hurt.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you have thoughts on grass or turf? 615-737-1025.
I got a lot of thoughts on it.
My point remains, for most of you, touch grass. 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville with the first pitch at 6:15. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
I mean, I hope he throws that play again. Like, it wasn't a good throw. But, I mean, he's a talented player. So, you know, like I said, he can make all those throws. His arm angle, obviously, is exceptional. He's got a zip in the ball. Like I said, he's the number one overall pick for a reason. I was a fan of him when he was in college. But, you know, when you know you got a guy like that that's able to make plays, you know, you just got to make sure you stay on your assignments. But hopefully he throws the ball again.
That was Colts linebacker Zaire Franklin earlier this week talking about Cam Ward and his touchdown pass to Elijah Manner. You heard Franklin there. It wasn't a good throw. He hopes that he attempts that again. And the 2-0 Colts, I should say, are coming to town on Sunday. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live from Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse. 217 Luis Avenue here in Midtown Nashville. Willie Donick, you've got some information for our fine listeners.
I've got your hookup here. Everybody likes a good deal. So you can make a reservation. That's what they want you to do. Make a reservation for tonight or maybe tomorrow before the football game. Really, anytime. But if you mention 102.5 The Game in your reservation notes, whether you go to Open Table, which a lot of people make their reservations on, or just go directly to Jimmy Kelly's website, jimmykellys.com, you can make a reservation there, or just go old school and call directly 329-4349. But mention us and you get a free dessert with your meal.
Ooh.
So I got you covered. I got you covered for dessert.
There you go.
D-Mace likes a good dessert.
Oh, man, I love a good dessert. I will not turn down a good dessert.
Nope. So you heard the man. If you want a free dessert, make a reservation at Jimmy Kelly's and mention us, 102.5 The Game, in the reservation notes. And Jimmy Kelly's will hook you up with a delicious free dessert.
Come and get your free dessert or you're going to get hurt.
Don't threaten the people.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to get
people to come. We want people to come here.
I mean, they're scared. They're
willingly.
Gonna make reservations.
Yeah. We don't want somebody to write 102.5 The Game because Derek Mason threatened me on air. That might be worth two desserts.
That's like the gooch.
Gooch.
You don't even know what I'm talking
about. That's the second time.
Second reference went sailing right over Adam's bald head.
Yes.
Or balding head.
Yes, balding. I-N-G.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you about to say?
Let me focus here. Okay. Let me get back on track. The Tennessee Titans released their injury report right before our show. If you didn't hear it then, you'll hear it now. J.C. Latham out once again for the Titans with a hip injury. Tavondre Sweat out once again with an ankle injury. Jarvis Brownlee, questionable with an ankle injury. Legarius Sneed is also questionable with a back injury, but he said after practice that he expects to play. Kevin Zeitler, also questionable with a bicep injury, among others. So keeping in mind that J.C. Latham is not going to play, which means either John Ojukwu or Ali Udo, a.k.a. Ali Uh-Oh, a.k.a. Ali Ono, a.k.a. Ali Ruh-Roh, could be starting at right tackle for the Tennessee Titans. But here's the question I have. Even with Latham's injury, I'm wondering if this is the week we finally get to see the Titans offense operate without constantly being under pressure. Through 2 weeks, the Titans have played two of the best pass rushes in the NFL. According to ESPN, Denver, through 2 weeks, second in pass rush win rate percentage. The Rams, through 2 weeks, fourth in pass rush win rate. The Indianapolis Colts, dead last in pass rush win rate, easy for me to say, at 19%. According to Next Gen Stats, the Colts' 20.6 quarterback pressure percentage is the worst in the NFL. So this Colts team, despite being 2-0, does not get after the quarterback, at least through two games. Again, you have to keep in mind the Latham factor and the Udo and the Ojukwu factor. But my question, Willie, is that through 2 weeks, Cam Ward has been under siege. I'm wondering if this game will give us a better indication of Cam Ward, knowing that at least based on the first 2 weeks, the Colts have really done nothing to affect the quarterback.
I think it should look a little better. I would say with the Colts, the two games that they've played, they have played teams. We talked this subject yesterday. The Broncos, who are pretty good at not allowing sacks with Bo Nix. The Dolphins, who, as many problems as they have, and they got a lot, they're 0-3 now, the first 0-3 team in the league. Tua Tagovailoa gets rid of the ball. Like last year, he was in the top 6-7 at sack percentage. So you're going to have a lower pressure rate when you play those two teams. Mm-hmm. But it should look better. And I'm going to start with one guy who's not on the injury list, and that's Dan Moore. Dan Moore, I'm going to give him a little slack because he has faced really good edge rushers. I mean, really good in the first. That Benito for Denver, he is a beast. LA's got more than one beast. But those guys had their way with Dan Moore. Dan Moore's got to have a better game on Sunday. He's not on the injury list. I know, hey, he's not great. I know they overpaid him. I know he's not great, but he's got to be better. He's got to be a lot better. I'm starting with him. It has to be better on his end. I can understand if they have issues all day long with trying to make do with whichever one of the O's they go to, right? They got two O's, OA and OB. Ojukwu, there's probably not that much difference within either one. They're going to have problems there. They're going to have to overcome that. They need a good day from Dan Moore.
Yeah, they're going to have to get a good day from Dan Moore because even though this team, their thing isn't, at least for the first two games, their thing isn't to get to the quarterback. They are still the fifth-ranked defense in the National Football League, and they are plus four in turnovers. They are a solid team that take advantages of offense's disadvantages. They're going to rush four. They're going to bring that fifth guy. They're going to play coverage behind. They are a disciplined team. They're going to play discipline, and they're going to come up and tackle. So I hope the Titans are able to hold up because because even though they have Quiddy Pay and DeForest Buckner in there, if you're able to hold up, you're good because now you give Cam Ward a chance to read the defense. If you're not holding up front against a four-man front or a five-man front, I mean, the coverage behind you is going to kill you because they're playing zone coverage, and at first glance, nothing's open, you know, because the receivers are not getting into their holes. So even though this team doesn't go after the quarterback, that's the way it seems the first two games of the season, one, don't think they won't put a wrinkle in their defense to come at both of those tackles. And then two, they may just take the approach the Rams took. We're going to rush four because their offensive line is so pathetic right now. We're going to rush four, and we're going to play covers behind. And the same thing that was done in the Titans last week by the Rams is going to be done this week by the Indianapolis Colts.
Here's one other thing for the offensive line. How bad is Latham's hip? Has anybody delved into that? Are we talking about another couple weeks? Like, they haven't put him on injured reserve, but he hasn't practiced now for – 2 full weeks. He hasn't practiced since the end of the Broncos game. That is, for long term, that's a scary thing to think about. I'd love for somebody to do some reporting there and find out.
One texter, who must be a Colts fan, has offered some context to those numbers that I presented. And I'm all about providing context. The texter mentioned that Colts defensive end Laiatu Latu and cornerback Javarius Ward did not play last week against the Denver Broncos. Latu is expected to play on Sunday. Ward is listed as questionable with a concussion. So thank you, Texter, for some of that context. Nevertheless, the pass
Latu
rush.
Latu was their first-round pick last year,
linebacker.
I think.
The pass rush numbers for the Colts through two games, and it's a small sample, pales in comparison to what the Titans faced in weeks one and two.
Yes, but does it change who the Titans are from an offensive line standpoint? I don't care, you know, if it's not Denver's and the Rams' vantage, you know, front four. Those guys still can play up front in Indianapolis, Buckner and Quiddy Pay. The offensive, what I know now is that the offensive line has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. Why? Because Jason Latham isn't playing. Dan Moore in two games hadn't played well. And still, I don't know what's wrong. Has Zeitler fully healthy and
he's
ready to go?
He's listed as questionable for the game on Sunday.
So you got another guy questionable. So I tell you one thing. I know their defensive line, they may not be the Rams and Denver, but they're good. Yeah. But I know the Titans have gotten worse each week. But that's the truth at least this week, based on injuries, what has happened up front with the injuries and the disappointment, at least for the last two games, with a left tackle that you went and paid all this money to.
What I'm hoping is, you know, in the old sitcoms, maybe in some old cartoons, when two people would dress up in a big trench coat to try to fool somebody, can Ali Udo and John Ojukwu fit into the same uniform? Because perhaps if they're together, they can block the right side of the offensive line.
It'd be double trouble for the Titans. That's all it would be. Double trouble for the Titans.
I don't even want to think about either of them starting at right tackle for a significant period of time. But to Willie's point, we don't know much about J.C. Latham's hip injury. And the longer he goes without practicing, the more concerned I get. And with this offensive line, which we all said before the season, we expected it to be a professional offensive line, to borrow a phrase from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. We all expected it to be a professional offensive line. And through two games, we're disappointed by the performance. Again, context, the types of defenses the offensive line faced. You have to keep that in mind. But I'm not sure anybody expected the Titans to have allowed 11 sacks through two games after the additions they made on the offensive line.
And I think the key question is going to be, can they get into the fourth quarter still functioning? Because for 2.5 quarters in each of those games, they were good enough to at least be in the lead, right? They're getting a lot of scoring drives. They're just field goal drives, right? They don't have a lot of three and outs. They've done some good things. They've run the ball okay. So we're focusing on the sacks because late in the games, that's what's hurting them. The cream's rising to the top, or the dam breaks, whatever cliche or analogy you want to use. It's, can you hold up for four quarters and find a way to win a close game?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Is this the week we finally see the Titans offense operate without constantly being under pressure? Against the Indianapolis Colts through two games, have not done much to pressure the quarterback. 615-737-1025. Again, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week on 94.9 The Fan is the Cowboys versus the Bears at 325. And the Bears play on grass, by the way, at Soldier Field. NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro and 12 South.
This is our Colts, this is our team, we bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Titans, hey, Cam Ward. Woo! This is our team, go Colts.
Donick.
I thought you were the DJ today, Adam. Was this one of your selections?
That was a David Jane selection.
That was definitely a me selection. I love this guy so much. Wow. He cracks me.
Was that David singing?
No,
definitely not me singing.
There is a Colts fan who is famous for these
parodies,
these anthems before every game.
He won Fan of the Year last year. He's Seth Duflo, as Lily Lily says, Duflo on his Twitter account. And it's just, it's so funny. It really is.
I believe he performed one of these anthems at halftime on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Man, they didn't let anybody do anything.
Anything for clicks.
Yeah,
it's all
anything
about the clicks.
For clicks. Anything for clicks.
That is true. We are live at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown Nashville. And just so that you know what you're missing, well, we don't want you to know what you're missing. We want you to come so that you know how delicious Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse is. So if you are looking for a true Nashville dining tradition, make a reservation today by either calling 615-329-4349, going online to jimmykellys.com/reservations, or booking through OpenTable. And if you mention 102.5 The Game in your reservation notes, you will enjoy a free dessert with your meal. So if you are looking for a wonderful dining experience tonight, tomorrow before the Vanderbilt game, Jimmy Kelly's is where you should come. Bring it
be
on.
Be there or be square.
At least you didn't threaten them this time.
Well, if I'm telling them be square, that's almost like a threat, too. You don't want to be
there's
square.
There's still some firmness behind that.
Yeah. Be there or be square.
But we've got this wide open
L7.
New place that they've built, a new section of it on top, on the roof, and they've got all the TVs. Mm-hmm. So this is a great place to come watch the games and go over to the Vanderbilt Georgia State game. So I've got your Saturday plan.
Yeah, come
it's
down.
Like Will Ferrell in Old School. We got a nice little Saturday. Yeah. But instead of going to Bed Bath and Beyond and on the places, you come to Jimmy Kelly's and you get the free dessert, then you go to the Vanderbilt game.
Exactly. Or you just stay at Jimmy Kelly's.
You can do that too.
And watch the game.
Yeah. There's cheesecake, there's key lime pie, there's creme brulee, there's tiramisu.
Yum.
The world is your oyster, which
see,
they also
and then the
have
lights dim
at Jimmy
down.
Now we got mood lighting.
Now
too.
We got mood light. Come on, bring your girl here. Girls, bring your guys here. Come on now. They setting the table for it. Come on.
Okay. Let's get back to the Indianapolis Colts. But before we do, Wes texts in about our conversation on the offensive line. And it says, is it too late to give Nicholas Petit-Frere a call? Do not put that evil on me, Wes. He says he's kidding. I don't care. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
That is a name
of the funniest movie
we should
ever.
Not be mentioning.
Exactly. Oh, man.
It gives me the willies, not Willie Donig. It gives me the willies anytime I hear Nicholas Petit-Frere.
Poor Nicholas. Poor, poor Nicholas.
So let's talk about the other side of the ball. The Colts, as we've mentioned, are 2-0 for the first time in 16 years. Mm-hmm. I believe they were the first team in NFL history to score on each of their first 10 offensive possessions of the season. They are also the first team in the Super Bowl era to not punt in either of their first two games of a season. So the Colts offense, it's rocking and rolling. Daniel Jones looks like a new man. Jonathan Taylor, he gashed the Denver Broncos last week. 25 carries for 165 yards, plus two receptions for 50 yards, and a touchdown. And need I remind you what happened last time Jonathan Taylor faced the Tennessee Titans in week 16 of last season. 218 rushing yards and three touchdowns on 29 carries. You could even go back to the year before that, when Zach Moss, of all people, had 23 carries for 165 yards and two touchdowns against the Tennessee Titans. So let's just say the Indianapolis Colts have had their way with the Titans in the running game. But I look at this Colts team. Again, I mentioned a rejuvenated Daniel Jones. Jonathan Taylor just racking up hundreds of yards from scrimmage. They've got a young core of pass catchers. Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, rookie tight end Tyler Warren, A.D. Mitchell. I think this Colts offense, it looks dangerous. And with L'Jarius Sneed expected.
It's the last thing I would have said about the Colts offense is after 2 weeks. Like if you told me this in August, dangerous, the Colts offense? No.
But don't make
but
me
hey,
laugh.
But they haven't punted.
They haven't punted.
Well, they did punt. They got a penalty. And then they got a 15-yard penalty, and they retained the ball. So
well,
they
it
did
doesn't,
punt once.
It doesn't count in the record book. It doesn't count in the record book.
No, you're right.
But with L'Jarius Sneed expected to play, but we saw how L'Jarius Sneed was last week. He seemed to run out of gas as the game went on against the L.A. Rams. It appears more likely than not that Jarvis Brownlee will not play on Sunday, which means Jalen Armour Davis, one of the Titans' waiver claims, would be starting in his place.
Yikes.
You said it for me, Willie.
Well, and also no T. Sweat, right? So
no,
this is
with all of the things I just read off about Jonathan Taylor, no Tavondre Sweat.
No Tavondre
That's
Sweat.
A big deal
I mean,
as well.
this is a challenge. D-Mates, this is what I want to ask you. There, and Adam, you sent a really good article from The Athletic. Ted Gwynn is a very good film analyst, and he teamed up with James Boyd, who covers the Colts for The Athletic, on kind of why it's worked so well. And it did remind me, Shane Steichen's offense in the younger years of Jalen Hurts, which kind of got him this job, right? It got him the head coaching job, his work with the Eagles. Is Daniel Jones maybe a poor person's version of Jalen Hurts, just good enough to be a passer that with decent weapons can have some success, and he can run like Hurts? And it seems like that run-pass option stuff is what the theme of Gwynn's analysis is. They're kind of running the Eagles' offense that they wanted to run with Anthony Richardson, but Jones is better at running it.
Well, Jones has shown us that because he did it with the Giants the year they went to the Super Bowl, meaning went to the playoffs. Saquon Barkley was in the backfield. He showed you that if he doesn't have to carry the team, if he can just – if things can be a little less stressful for him, then he can deliver the ball to the guys that need to get the ball, and also he can run. He can do some of those things that Jalen Hurts does. He can manage the game well because he understands that those other guys will take up for him. They will take up the slack. He's not one of those guys that can go out and win a game for you. It may have looked that way to the Giants. That's why they gave him that big contract. But they quickly found out that without Saquon Barkley, he went back to being a below-average quarterback. You put guys around him, Jonathan Taylor, the receivers that he got, Warren, the tight end. I love that kid. He is going to be a nightmare for the AFC South for many years. The kid's good if he don't get hurt.
I said this, I think, after the Colts drafted Tyler Warren, that I just had this sinking suspicion that Tyler Warren is going to be a Titans killer long as he is wearing a Colts uniform. And it could start on Sunday, but I just have a feeling that longtime Titans fans, think about all of the Colts players in history that have burned the Titans. I'm sure somebody's coming to mind right now as I say this to you.
Dallas Clark.
Well,
that's going way back.
Tyler Warren could be the next Dallas Clark. I don't know.
Yeah, but this offense you know, these young guys are playing really well. But if you look at Indianapolis and what they're able to do, I named off yesterday the skilled individuals that they drafted. These ain't free agents. They drafted every last one of these guys. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, A.D. Mitchell. They drafted those guys. You want to know who else they drafted? Every single one of their offensive linemen, every single one of them was a pick by the Indianapolis Colts. From the first round, I think, to the sixth round, somewhere around there. Led by Quentin Nelson. And if you watch that offensive line, that is a damn – you wonder why Denver didn't win that game. Well, they couldn't get the pressure or they couldn't affect Daniel Jones the way they were at Cam Ward or the outside guys. That is a really good offensive line. And Indianapolis reminds me of the Indianapolis Colts when they had Andrew Luck. That's what this team is right now. They got a playmaker or two outside. Matter of fact, I think they may have more playmakers because when Luck, was sort of at the tail end, the kid that was there with Harrison – Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne was sort of at the tail end, but then they had the other kid that was like that was going to be their number one. They may be better from a skill standpoint than that team was. Only thing they needed was, and Shane Steichen knew it. That's why he made the change so quickly. They needed a quarterback that could run this offense because Richardson couldn't. And now they think they found somebody that can run that offense, and that offense is hella balanced. And they never let you get a beat on a quarterback, really.
Let's go to Scott in Hendersonville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead. Scott, you there? Scott, call back.
Scott.
Come on, Scott.
Come on, Scott.
Come on, man.
Come
yeah,
on,
that was
Scott.
Your moment,
stay sharp.
Scott.
Stay sharp. It's Friday afternoon.
Come on, Scott.
Here's one quick thing that Gwynn mentions about sort of that the Eagle-esque offense that Shane Steichen is running, and Daniel Jones seems like he is taking to it. Really, obviously, the stats would tell you he's taking to it great. But Coach Steichen calls good plays that get Jones's first read open. The run-pass option package, and I'm going to get the wide receiver translator here, is one of the most creative in the league. And remember, you've got Jonathan Taylor as the run option. That's a pretty good threat. That should open some things up down the field. But it says he creates simple reads. They're running a lot of the same concepts over and over again with different window dressings to disguise them. So nothing too complicated, but they're getting the reads that they're looking for. So to me, that would be something to watch. Can they take away that first read and take him out of his comfort zone a little bit?
Well, they can take it away if they stop the run. That's the only way you take away the first read. If you stop the run, because that offense is predicated on play action. They want everything to look exactly like they're running the football. So not having T. Sweat may be an even bigger deal this week because of the back that they're facing and how they want to run that offense. So if they can't stop the run, he's going to be able – more times than not, to have an opportunity to hit his first read.
All right, Scott in Hendersonville, we'll give you a second chance. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead. Scott. Okay, Scott, you're banned.
Yeah, you're,
banned, Scott. Scott, you're
Scott
banned.
I mean, it was coming in. I was hearing the crackling. I was hearing the static. Like
he must be on the phone. He's just saying he's hanging up. He's got to be hanging up.
You're banned.
You're banned forever, Scott.
I have high standards for our callers. You're banned.
That's hard to say hello when we say
banned
hey.
Forever or just banned for the rest of the hour?
Scott will have to text us at 615-737-1025 and issue a formal apology for not answering the phone twice when I called on him. If he can do that, he's allowed to call again.
Can he throw his phone company under the bus?
Yes, he can.
And blame it on them.
No.
Cause he,
no,
cause
I'm
he,
not.
No, because he's on the phone.
He did
he's
say that like, there was something weird with his connection. I don't know why.
Tell him to Texas.
He said that, though.
Okay. Tell him to Texas.
Scott.
Texas.
He was endeavoring to call the show.
Scott, it's a soft ban, okay? It's a soft ban.
It's not an SMU ban,
it's
okay?
It's a ban today.
It's not the death penalty. Like
it's not the NCAA equivalent of the death penalty. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the matchup between the Colts and the Titans at Nissan Stadium this Sunday. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, you may have played this game at a party at one point in your life. I wouldn't know what that's like because nobody ever invited me to parties. But Willie and Derek, they're a party every day. So we're going to play a good old-fashioned party game, called Would You Rather about the Tennessee Titans. And we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. The Blue Raiders will host Marshall tomorrow at Floyd Stadium at 6 o'clock. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com.